Walk with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter number 3. Hebrews chapter number 3. Have a thought that hit my mind early in the week I'd like to share. Hopefully it'll be an encouraging thought, because as we are well aware, we're living in some interesting, perilous, and dangerous times. Things are happening rapidly all over the world, in our cities, our states, in our country, and in other countries, all pointing to, I believe, the soon appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And all of us who have a desire to live godly, all of us who have a desire to walk pleasingly unto the Lord, to live according to his word, we face challenges on several areas or on several levels, because the day is challenging. And we understand that Satan is trying to discourage and depress, hinder and stop the people of God and make them draw back, make us draw back and give up. But we're not going there. We are not going there. The thought that I have, I'll tell you up front, is basically, it is now and will be worth it all. It is now and will be worth it all. The reason that we can say it is now, if you're born again of the water and of the Spirit, if you have received biblical salvation, then it is now worth it all. And it will be worth it all. So here we are in Hebrews chapter number 3. And I'd like to begin at verse number 14 this morning. I have the Amplified Classic version of the scriptures. You can follow along in any version that you have with you. This is what the writer saying under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. For we have become fellows with Christ, the Messiah, and share in all he has for us. There's a comma there, so let's just kind of pause there for a moment. Now, the we that he's talking about is those who were born again of the water and of the Spirit. We have become fellows. That means we are really connected with Jesus. We are in Jesus, and he is in us. And we share in all he has for us. So all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. We get an equal share of the inheritance that God has in store for us. The verse continues, if only we hold our first newborn confidence and original assured expectation, in virtue of which we are believers, firm and unshaken to the end. So the writer here is saying, we got a share in this. We have a part in this. We can expect to receive everything that God has promised, but we have to hold our first newborn confidence. Remember when you were first born again? The confidence that you had in God, that we had in God, we believed everything. We might not have known a bunch of scripture, but when God filled us with the Holy Ghost, we said, that's it. It's a done deal. We believe everything. We believe everything. So we said, hold on to that newborn confidence and what you had originally. You're assured. You were assured of the expectation. You were assured that you were saved. You were assured that you were on your way to heaven. You were assured that you wanted to please God. Hold on to that. Hold on, the writer's saying. Hold on to it. Firm and unshaken to the end. And the reason that I believe this word is encouraging us to hold on to our belief, hold on to our trust in God, hold on to our faith in Jesus Christ, because it's being tested. It is being tested. And we don't want to be the ones that let go of our faith. Verse 15 says, then while it is still called today, if you will hear his voice, and when you hear it, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the desert when the people provoked and irritated and embittered God against them. So now he's pointing back to the Old Testament time when the voice of God was being declared, or the word of God, the mind of God was being declared by God's prophet, and they didn't hold on to it. They hardened their heart, and because they hardened their heart and did not believe, didn't keep their faith, even after they cried to God for deliverance. They cried to God because the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt, and they were in bondage for over 400 years, and they cried and they cried and they cried, and God sent a deliverer. And when God sent a deliverer, he delivered them with a mighty hand. Remember when God had them kill the Passover and put the blood on the door and on the sidepost. Remember how God sent the death angel and it killed everything, every firstborn of every house that did not have the blood applied. Everything died. Every firstborn died. And we see how God passed over the children of Israel because the blood was applied. They were obedient unto him and did that. And they were ready to go. God said, I'm going to deliver you. So after having been delivered, then they're going through Canaan and they're going through. And we need to understand that Canaan was not the promised land. Canaan was not the promised land, but they had to go through Canaan to get to the promised land. Because if the promised land had been Canaan, then there wouldn't have been no reason for them to fight. They had to fight enemies while they were on their way to the promised land. And listen, when God gives you a promise, you ain't got to fight for it. You got to believe him and walk into it. The Bible says, for who were they who heard it and yet were rebellious and provoked him? Who was it? Was it not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? So here God gave them a great deliverance, right? But they got out of that dilemma. Remember when Pharaoh's army came behind them and the sea was in front of them, and they were crying. See, God hears an earnest cry. They were crying, and then God told Moses what to do, and they went through the Red Sea on dry land. And then when Pharaoh's army tried to come through, God just spoke to the Red Sea and said, okay, going back to where you were, and killed every last one of them that was pursuing the children of Israel. The Bible says, and with whom was he irritated and provoked and grieved for 40 years? was it not with those who sinned, whose dismembered bodies were strewn and left in the desert? So 40 years they was in the wilderness, and 40 years they were rebelling against God. 40 years they were complaining even after they were delivered. And sometimes that is the mindset of some people. We remember Egypt is the type of the world and is a type of being in sin and being in bondage to the devil. How many of us who are saved now, and we are rejoicing in the fact that we're saved, but how many of us remember the bondage that we were in? Just let me remind us all that we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And when we heard the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, and thank God he sent us faith to believe what was preached, and we received the salvation of our souls. But I remember being in bondage. Do you remember being in bondage? I remember doing things that was not good for me and that was against God. I remember going here and going there. And I remember that I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. I got sick and tired of waking up drunk. I got sick and tired of wondering how in the world did I get here. I got sick and tired of just doing the wrong thing. I got sick and tired of being locked up and arrested and put in jail over the weekend. I got sick and tired of having to watch my back. I got sick and tired of trying to remember who I misused and if I can go there or it couldn't go there. But then when I got sick and tired, when I was tired enough, and all the while I was doing that, all the while we were doing those things, God was extending mercy to us. God was extending grace to us. God was allowing his breath to continue to be in our bodies until the day that we had a singular moment of spiritual clarity and we repented of our sins and we got baptized in Jesus' name. And God fulfilled his promise. He filled us with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. We have received this salvation, let's hold on to it. Let us hold on with this confidence, because we don't want to be like the children of Israel who died in Canaan and did not make it to the promise. There was a whole generation of them that did not make it. It was young people that made it. Oh, thank God for the young people. It was young people that made it. But those bodies were left in the desert. The bodies of those that stopped believing. The bodies of those that stopped trusting. And they were still worshiping. Wow. They were still worshiping. But they were just worshiping, I believe, with their mouth. But their heart was far from God. Their heart was far from God, because the Bible does say that God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So it's not about a religious activity. It's about our true relationship with God. And God proved them. God knows the hearts of everybody. We can front off if we want to, but God knows the heart. And they died in the desert. Hebrews 4:1 says, therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still holds and is offered today, aren't you glad that there is a promise that God has made that we will enter into his rest? He says, let us be afraid to distrust it. Hold on to the promise, lest any of you should think he has come too late or has come too short of reaching it. Listen, today is the day of salvation. While there's still breath in your body and blood running in your veins, if you were not saved yet, you need to get saved today. The Bible says today the day that you hear his voice, don't you harden your heart, because that's what they did. God is trying to tell somebody, learn from their example. They heard my voice. They did not listen, and they died in the desert. God doesn't want you to die in the desert of life, but Jesus said, I come that you might have life, and that you might have it to the full. Listen, you ain't really living until you are alive in Jesus. You ain't really living until you're born again of the water and of the Spirit. So God is telling us, he said, for indeed we have had the glad tidings, the gospel of God proclaimed to us, just as truly as they, the Israelites of old, did when the good news of deliverance from bondage came to them. I got good news for somebody. You might have came in here this morning with a habit. You might have came here this morning with a dime bag in your pocket or in your purse. You might have a fifth of whatever in the glove compartment of your vehicle, but God can deliver. We have a cloud of witnesses here to let you know and proclaim to you that God, he can deliver from any type of bondage. Listen, it's worth it to follow Jesus. It is worth it to put your trust in him. You ain't really living until God is alive in you and you have the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. So God wants you to understand that he loved mankind so much that he came as Jesus Christ and went to the cross of Calvary to deliver all mankind from the bondage of sin. But listen to what the Bible said. But the message they heard did not benefit them. Listen, don't you let the gospel message be of no benefit to you. Why did it not benefit them? Because it was not mixed with faith. Listen, when you hear the message of the gospel, God ain't trying to get you to understand everything. Just believe what he said. I don't know the mechanics of God. I don't know all the intricacies of God, but I believe every word that he said. The message was not mixed with faith, with the leaning of the entire personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. You got to believe that God is good. You have to believe that God has all power, because did not Jesus say when he got up, he said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. So since he has all power, you might as well go to the all-powerful one and put your life in his hand. He said, with the leaning of the entire personality on God and in absolute trust. You got to trust God more than you trust your mama and your daddy. You got to trust God more than your road dogs and your homeboys. You got to trust God more than your cut buddies. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. You got to trust God more than your siblings. Watch now. You got to trust God more than your spouse. Wait a minute. You're getting close. Listen. You got to trust God above everything. You got to trust God. You got to have confidence in God, confidence in his word, and confidence in his wisdom. We ain't smarter than God. Listen, God knows the end from the beginning. He is the only omniscient one. God knows everything about everything, and there is nothing that God doesn't know about. So we got to trust the wisdom of God, and you got to trust his goodness. Aren't you glad for the goodness of God? Aren't you glad for the grace of God? The Bible continues here, by those who heard it, neither were they united in faith with the ones with Joshua and Caleb who heard and believed. I'm so glad that God had a witness way back, oh, in the Old Testament time when Moses sent the spies to spy out the land. They saw that the land was indeed what God had promised. It is a land of milk and honey. It is a land that has some great blessings. But what those 10 spies didn't realize, they were looking at man's view, but Joshua and Caleb was looking up with a God view. They brought back on branches. They brought back some of the fruit and said, yes, it is a great land. Yes, it's plentiful, but there's some giants in the land, and we are as grasshoppers, watch now, in our own eyes. That is the problem. When you look through things through your human understanding, then you will miss what God has for all of us. But thank God for Joshua and Caleb. They said, wait a minute, I need somebody in my life that has a Joshua or Caleb spirit. Yes, I know you're going through, Pastor. Yes, I know there's things that are pressing against you, but you are well able to make it. I like what Joshua told them. He said, yeah, the odds are not in our favor. It's 10 that's saying no, but it's 2 that's saying yes. It puts my mind to where God says, if 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst. So I need somebody sometime in my season when I'm going through. Wait a minute. We need somebody to come by with a Joshua and a Caleb spirit and say, yes, brother, I know you're going through. I know opposition is facing you, but you are well able to conquer this. You can take it and we can take it. I like what Caleb said when he went up to the Anakims. He said, yeah, I'm an old man now. I'm 84 years old. But God has given me some strength, and my strength has not diminished. I know there's some giants up there. I know the Anakims are up there. But guess what? God is with me, so give me this mountain. Listen, you got to speak sometimes to your mountain and let God and the enemy and the mountain know, I'm coming, but I'm not coming in my own strength. Going back to Bible class, I'm not coming in my own strength, but I'm coming in the strength of the Lord. And whatever area God says that I can have, I'm going to believe God, because it's up to him to fulfill his promise. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. So whatever God said, I'm going to believe it. So since God said in his word, whom the Son has set free is free indeed, that's why it's worth it now, because I'm free in Christ Jesus. That's why it's worth it now, because I have, wait a minute, don't want to be stingy. We have an intercessor. We have a high priest. That's why we don't fall apart when trouble comes, because Jesus, he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. Jesus is praying for us right now. And because he has blessed us with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, his spirit, the Emmanuel, the God with us, the God in us, makes intercession. Because sometimes things come against us and we don't even know how to pray as we ought. I thank God for the Holy Ghost, because when I get on my knees sometimes or get in the car sometimes and my heart is overwhelmed and overflooded with situations, and I might begin to tell God what I think I want to say, but here comes the Holy Ghost and takes over. It takes over. And God understands what the Holy Ghost is praying, because God is the Holy Ghost. Look at the goodness of God. He sees us as his children. And did he not say that his strength is made perfect in our weakness? So while we're weak, we have to remember, I feel like preaching now. We have to remember we got the strong one on the inside. So when we get weak, God sees that we're weak. And God says, wait a minute, I need to take over in this prayer. So here comes the Holy Ghost, and God begins to pray out of us, for us, to help us, to strengthen us.
That's why it's worth it now. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. The Bible says we are not a high priest that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. But he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. It's worth it now because I got a high priest that I don't have to pay co-pays to. I got Jehovah Rapha. I got the healer. Wait a minute. I'm tired of being stingy. We got the healer on the inside. And we can go to him and say, Lord, you made this body. Lord, you know what's going on in this body. So I'm going to believe your word. What word? God said, okay, since I am the great physician, here is your prescription. Find in that word and read it out loud in your chair, in your sick bed. He said, with his stripes, we are healed. Not we might be, not we should be, but believe his word. And says with his stripes, we are healed. Healing is the children's bread. Glory. Hallelujah. So God, I'm going to thank you for my healing. I know what the doctor is saying, but they just practicing medicine. God ain't got to practice because he is perfect. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. So I'm going to thank you, God, right now for my healing. When I got up this morning, my back was trying to mess with me. But I made up my mind, I'm going to drag this back to the house of God. And I'm going to give God praise. I'm going to fulfill what God wants me to fulfill. I'm going to encourage you. At the same time, I am encouraging me. The Bible says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. That's why it's worth it now. Because right now, we are the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he appears, we shall. I said we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Hold on. Go through your test. Go through your trial. Go through your season. Because it won't be long. He that shall come. Oh, glory. My wife told me the other week, I ain't got to hire nobody to shout for me. I'm going to shout for myself. I'm going to shout for myself. Oh, glory. Because he that shall come, he will come. And his reward is with him. God is bringing a reward. Jesus, the Christ, is bringing a reward. We are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus. Everything he gets, we get. It is now, and it will be, worth it all. Don't you dare give up. Don't you back up. Hold on to your faith. Trust God. Trust God. Believe God. Believe. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what the x-rays say, CAT scan, MRI, no RI, or no I. God still reigns on high. Trust God. Trust God. Trust God. And even if God says, you got to go by way of grave, you ain't staying there. Jesus is the first fruits of them that slept. He is the first fruits of the resurrection. So if God chooses in his divine will to have some of us go by the grave? That's all right. That's all right. But be, here comes some Brooklyn Ebonics. But be sure before you go that you know that you're saved. Huh? Be sure before you go that you know you're saved. It ain't about shaking no preacher's hand. No. It ain't about I felt a warm feeling. You turn down the heat next time you feel that warm feeling. That's right. Take some of them layers off. You got to repent. You got to be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ. And God himself will fill you with the Holy Ghost. It is now worth it. So I'm going to go through whatever I got to go through. Huh? We're going to go through whatever we got to go through. Why? It's worth it right now. Huh? God gives us a peace that passes all understanding. If some people were facing some of the things that we saints are facing, they'd have cracked up a long time ago. Huh? Only our God can give us peace in the midst of a storm. People on your job, people in some in our families know what we're going through. Say, you ain't, why are you still going to that church? Why are you still doing this? I believe God. Huh? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him.
Hallelujah.
I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord. Where? In the land of the living. So it's worth it now. It's worth it now. And it will be worth it all after a while. Because we're looking for the glorious appearing of Jesus. We're looking. I'm looking. Y'all looking? So let's live like we're looking. Well, I don't want him to come today because I got stuff on my list. Forget your list and get with this. Come on. Because when he comes, the lists are going to be null and void. I want this to happen. Okay. An hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. I just wanted to encourage somebody today. Hold on. God is conscious of everything that's happening in your life. You are not alone. God knows, God sees, he cares, and he hears. Hears. All right? He hears even when you don't say nothing. He hears your heart. He hears your heart. He hears your heart. God hears your heart. He knows what you're going through. He knows the decisions that you're facing. God knows it. That didn't catch him by surprise. But seek God. Trust him. Believe him. Look in God's word for your situation. See, we got to be students of the word. Look in his word. Say, God, you said. And see, it's good to tell God. See, God doesn't forget. Sometimes we're the ones who forget. So it's good to speak to ourselves as we're speaking to God and say, God, you said this. So on the power and trust that I have in your word, I'm believing you for this. You see? But you got to know what he said. Huh? Pointing back to Bible study last week. Y'all missed a good one. Just a shameless plug. Y'all missed a good one. Not grandmother's tales. Not myths. Right? But you got to know the word. Because when you know the word, you can live by it. Huh? You can pray the word. Did not he say, ask and it shall be given? Is that what he said? Seek, you shall find. Huh? He said in one place, that when you seek me with all your heart, that's when you find me. Because some of us, we seek
But we just, you know, we tap lightly on the door. Yeah, you know, some of us do like some of those porch pirates. Ring the doorbell and see if anybody, and then snatch the package and run. Don't do that. You keep knocking. Keep knocking. Keep knocking. Keep asking God. God, here I am. Here I am, God. On your word, you said ask. And in one place it said, he that asketh. That ETH means you got to continually. If you don't get it the first time, keep asking. Keep asking. And then look into the word, look into your heart, and see if you make sure you're not asking amiss, so you might consume it on your own lust. God, if this is what you really want from me, then I'm ready to receive it. But if it's not, I don't want it. But see, there's a battle with our flesh, because our flesh wants things that God don't want for us. That's another sermon. I don't have time to preach that one. But our flesh at times wants things that God doesn't want us with. Oh, Lord. Ain't nobody shouting. Our flesh want things that God is like, no! All right. I can't see your faces clearly, so it's good. I don't know if you're frowning or smiling until I put my glasses on. So I'm going to give you time to smile. Let me put my glasses on. Oh, there you are. I just wanted to encourage us today. It is now and will be worth it all. We used to sing a song, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Y'all taught me some good songs when I came in here. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. Just one look at his dear face, all sorrows will erase. So gladly run this race till we see Christ. My brother, my sister, be encouraged. It is now and it will be worth it all. God bless you. God keep you. It's my prayer. Somebody needs to get saved. Somebody, for real. Somebody needs to get saved. Somebody needs to surrender and say, okay, God, I give up. I've been running, thinking I've been running for you. I tried that. I sure did. I was in New York and got on a bus. Said, I'm coming to California. When I got off the bus, all my problems got off the bus with me. I said, well, I'm coming to California. I'm going to be a bum. Don't nobody know me. The weather's nice. Oh, well. But when I got off the bus, I got off the bus with my drug habit. I got off the bus with my alcoholic self. Got off the bus, didn't even have luggage. Had the clothes on my back and $50 in my pocket. Now, you know, for somebody that wants to get high, $50 ain't nothing. No, I'm just being real. And that was gone. Quick, fast, and in a hurry. But the goodness of God and the mercy of God allowed me to hear the gospel. And that's what God is offering to somebody. He's offering salvation this morning. He's offering you a new life. He's offering you an opportunity to become an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. The Bible says, in the day that you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Don't sit there and let pride handcuff you. If you need salvation,